Happy New Year to all our listeners, and welcome to the Decorum Talking Newspaper for the week ending Saturday, 10th of January, 2026. This is Jeremy, and your other readers are Pam, Angela, and Eleanor. The editor this week is Eleanor. All are members of Team One. Most of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Berkhamsted, and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. This week we are sponsored by Bridge Garage Services, which is just behind Pets at Home Apsley. They have over 30 years' experience in all types of car and van MOT and servicing. Telephone 235 412. Website bridgegaragehemel.co.uk. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442 unless stated otherwise. This week's headlines. Honour for foster carer. Plea from parents of attack victim. Closure order for property. Air quality action needed. Looking for future stars. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, this is Pam. A foster carer from Hemel Hempstead, who has looked after children in Hertfordshire for 40 years, has been included in the 2026 New Year's Honours List. Reginald East, who looked after a number of children as a foster carer alongside his late wife Joan, has received an MBE. Mr. East said in early 2024, before his wife's passing, "We have never been empty in our house. We've never been without a foster child. We still keep in touch with so many of our foster children. In fact, we went to the wedding of one of our foster children last year." Sarah Williams-Gardner, chair of FinTech Wales, who is also a director with the DVSA and a Hemel Hempstead resident, received an OBE. David Gurney, who lives in Hemel Hempstead and is a leading film technician working with the BFI, also received an MBE. So did Judith Charlesworth, who was chair of the Barnett Spence Special Education Trust. In other honours, commanders of the Order of the British Empire, CBEs, were given two. Samantha Louise Deforge, Director of Conduct, Equity and Justice, Ministry of Defence, for services to Equity and Justice in Defence, a resident of St Albans. Dr. Luisa Maria Freitas dos Santos, Vice President of Global Clinical Supply Chain, GlaxoSmithKline, for services to pharmaceutical engineering, resident of Welwyn Garden City. Professor David Thomas Kemp, Emeritus Professor of Auditory Biophysics, University College London, for services to auditory sciences and public health, from Hatfield. Daniel Levy, lately Chair Tottenham Hotspur, for services to charity and the community in Tottenham, resident of Potter's Bar. Leah Williamson, for services to football, from St Albans. Order of the British, Officers of the Order of the British Empire, OBEs, were given to Debbie Bartlett, lately Deputy Director, Protect and Prepare, Home Office, for Public Services, of Broxbourne. Roxana Capassi, Director of Health at Barnardo's, for services to transforming care to health equity and to the patient voice, from St Albans. Parvan Popat, Chief Executive, TLC Care, for services to intergenerational housing, from Bushy. Dr. Adoronki Adebiren Savage, Chief Executive Officer and Founder of Jomas Associates Limited, for services to young people, to business and to the construction industry, from Potter's Bar. Sarah Williams-Gardner, Chair of FinTech Wales and lately Chair of the Western Gateway Partnership, for services to the development of the UK financial services ecosystem, regional economic growth and to charity, from Hemel Hempstead. Members of the Order of the British Empire, MBEs, Judith Charlesworth, lately Chair, Barnett Special Education Trust, London, for services to education, from Hemel Hempstead. Reginald East, foster carer, Hertfordshire Council, for services to foster care, Hemel Hempstead. Michael French, Head of Games, Film London and Festival Director, London Games Festival, for services to the games industry, to inclusion and to charity, Letchworth Garden City. David Gurney, lately Film Laboratory Lead, British Film Institute, for services to cinema and heritage, from Hemel Hempstead. Peter Hunt, for parliamentary and political services, from Harpenden. Michael Marks, trustee of the Holocaust Memorial Day Trust, for services to Holocaust remembrance and education, from Bushy. Dr. Tanya Moore, principal social worker, Essex County Council, for services to social work, from St. Albans. Stephen Monkley, Vice President, Craft Guild of Chefs, for services to the hospitality industry and to young people, Boreham Wood. Elizabeth Prescott, Specialist Nurse for Thalassemia, Whittington Health NHS Trust, for services to people living with thalassemia syndrome, St. Albans. Emma Rule, Founder, Musicians Against Homelessness, for charitable service to homeless people and to aspiring musicians, from Royston, and medalists of the Order of the British Empire, BEMs, were awarded to Alan Clements, Volunteer Imperial War Museum, Duxford, for voluntary service, from Ware, Don Marie Inwood, Chair, Leacliffe Big Local, for services to the community in Leacliffe, Boreham Wood.
Hello, this is Angela. The parents of a man who has been left with a catastrophic brain injury after being assaulted at a cricket club in Hemel Hempstead have appealed for people to come forward with information. Four people have been arrested in connection with the incident, which happened outside Leverstock Green Cricket Club in Bedmond Road on Saturday, 26th of July at 2:06 a.m. As the police investigation continues, the victim's parents have released a statement appealing to the local community saying, "Our dear son has suffered a catastrophic brain injury as a result of this senseless, violent assault. This has been a life-changing experience both for him and for the rest of our family. We ask that someone from our community comes forward to assist the police so that another family in the future will not experience what we are going through." Three 17-year-old males and an 18-year-old man were arrested on suspicion of wounding with intent to cause grievous bodily harm. They are on police bail while the investigation continues. Detective Constable Daniel Noyes said, "We would like to hear from anyone who has information about this assault which has left the victim with life-changing injuries. We believe there are people who have information about this incident who are yet to speak to the police. Please get in touch with us as soon as possible." Those with information can email daniel.noyes@hearts.police.uk, quoting Crime Reference 41/69755/25. You can also report information online. Speak to an operator in the Force Communications Room via the online web chat at hearts.police.uk/contact, or call the non-emergency number 101. Alternatively, you can stay anonymous by contacting Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111, or at crimestoppers-uk.org.
Hello, this is Eleanor. A property in Hemel Hempstead Town Centre has been closed off from the public following a court order. At St Albans Magistrates Court, a partial closure order was granted, preventing people from entering a home within the town centre. An exact location of the building has not been released by Hertfordshire Constabulary for safeguarding reasons. The court heard that the police had received reports of persistent antisocial behaviour at the property. It is now a criminal offence for anyone but the named tenant of the property to enter the building except in an emergency. The order has been granted for a 3-month period, and anyone who breaches the order faces arrest. Sergeant Chris Bignall from the Decorum Community Safety Unit said, "We'd received numerous complaints regarding the behaviour of visitors to the address, including screaming, shouting and banging at all times of day and night. This was causing fear among the local community, as well as putting the tenant at risk. We tried several methods to resolve the issues, but sadly, they continued. As a result, police and partner agencies have worked together to ensure that the tenant can remain in their home, while also providing some respite to residents who have suffered. This is the third such order we'd obtained in Decorum since the start of November, and I hope this sends a clear message to those intent on causing misery among local communities that this behaviour will not be tolerated. If you're experiencing similar behaviour in your neighbourhood, please continue to report it. Every call helps us build up the intelligence we need to take action."
The deputy leader of the Green Party on Hertfordshire County Council has challenged the authority to get tough on drivers of idling vehicles, backed up by fines on offenders. Idling is the practice of a driver sitting in a stationary vehicle with the engine running, thereby wasting fuel, polluting the air with exhaust emissions, and increasing wear and tear. At a meeting of the council, Councillor Matt Fisher, Green, St Albans Central, said to council leader Councillor Steve Jarvis, "I'm sure we will all agree clean air is not a luxury, it is a basic public health right, especially for children who have no choice over the air they breathe on the school run. So given the clear evidence linking engine idling to nitrogen dioxide, fine particulates, childhood asthma and lifelong damage to lungs, and given that this council already has legal powers to act, will the leader at the County Council now commit to a fully enforceable county-wide rollout of anti-idling measures, including the issuing of statutory fines by civil enforcement officers, rather than continuing to rely on voluntary compliance alone? Will this begin outside schools, in town centres and in densely populated areas, so we protect those at greatest risk first?" In response, Councillor Jarvis acknowledged the issue, the improvement that had occurred, and the need to take further advice. "It is clearly the case that air quality is a significant issue, and it is a significant issue for adults and particularly for children," he said. "It is fair to say there have been some improvements in some of the worst areas, largely as a result of reductions in vehicle emissions and there being more vehicles without internal combustion engines." Afterwards, Councillor Fisher, who is a member of St Albans District Council, said that idling was not only harmful to those outside vehicles, but inside them too. He suggested that with the helping hand of enforcement, motorists may change their views on the practice in the same way that attitudes to the use of plastic bags and mobile phones behind the wheel have changed. "There's a misconception that you're safe in the car," he said, adding that air quality could be 30 times poorer inside a car. "People sit there in summer with the air conditioning on or the heater in winter. The problem is it's spewing out pollutants and toxic gases, but it also circulates inside the car. There's a misconception that it's a clean chamber in the car, but it's really, really not." In the council chamber, he also asked if the council could commit to a significantly increased and ring-fenced budget so this would be treated as genuine public health and climate intervention and not a side project. Councillor Jarvis told him he would have to wait for the council's budget, which is due to be set in February.
Tring Park School for the Performing Arts is excited to announce its open day dates this January, offering young performers nationwide the chance to discover what life is like at one of the UK's leading vocational schools. Are you the school's next stage star, super singer, or talented dancer? Home to the new CBBC entertainment documentary series, Stage Stars, Tring Park School welcomes day and boarding students aged 7 to 19 years, offering classes led by expert teaching staff and experienced industry professionals. With an emphasis on excellence in both academics and performance, the school ensures every student has space to reach their full potential. Key dates are 15th of January afternoon, years 7 to 10, 16th January afternoon, sixth form, and 19th January morning, Tring Park Prep, years 3 to 6. Visitors will be welcomed with a guided tour, a talk from senior staff members, plenty of opportunities to meet the wider staff and students, and even see a vocational class in action. As a hub for aspiring performers, the school offers vocational training across dance, acting, musical theatre, commercial music, and technical theatre. Current student Jamie explains why he loves his time at Tring Park School. "It is such a magical place. It's like Hogwarts meets High School Musical. I am so lucky to have the chance to study here. It's such a supportive atmosphere, and everywhere you look, someone is singing, dancing, or performing. Everyone is just so talented." Already, 1 in 4 current students have gained professional experience, contributing to the UK's vibrant entertainment industry. Alumni span West End stages, TV series, and global cinemas, including Hollywood stars Lily James and Daisy Ridley, fan favourite Evie Templeton, star of Netflix series Wednesday, and West End talents Jo Griffiths-Brown, currently starring in Les Miserables, and Mia Carraher, taking on the role as Katniss in new production of The Hunger Games. Elizabeth O'Dell, Director of Studies at Tring Park School, explains, "We are delighted to welcome the next generation of exceptional young talent to our school. Whether your strengths lie in dance, acting, or technical skills, come along and see what makes Tring Park School a world-renowned centre of excellence for performing arts. And you too may be our next stage stars."
This week in history. January 11, 1993. Richard Branson won a legal victory after British Airways apologised for a dirty tricks campaign against Virgin Atlantic Airways. On this day last year, Sam Moore, the surviving half and higher voice of the 60s duo Sam and Dave, who were known for such definitive hits of the era as Soul Man and Hold On, I'm Coming, died aged 89. January 12, 1970, Nigeria's civil war ended when the Biafran army surrendered. On this day last year, the death toll from the wildfires ravaging the Los Angeles area rose to 16 as crews battled to cut off the spreading blazes before potentially strong winds returned that could have pushed the flames towards some of the city's most famous landmarks. January 13, 1982. A Boeing 737 crashed into a bridge, hitting 5 ships and killing 78 people on the Potomac River in Washington, D.C. On this day last year, Rachel Reeves will be Chancellor for the whole of this Parliament, Downing Street said, following questions over whether her future in the position was guaranteed amid high government borrowing costs. January 14, 1904. Photographer and stage designer Sir Cecil Beaton was born in London.
Hertfordshire residents with a liking for barista-style coffee are drinking tons of it at home and turning to the County Council to help them recycle. Following a trial during 2024, All 16 of the authority's recycling centres now offer coffee pod recycling containers. According to a report presented to county councillors, more than 11 tonnes of the pods have been collected since April. Once collected, the plastic and aluminium pods can be recycled to make new products. The used coffee grounds are extracted and used to make soil improver. Following a meeting of the Council's Environment, Transport and Growth Cabinet Panel, a spokesperson for the County Council welcomed the take-up of the service by Hertfordshire residents. "We're very pleased that so many Hertfordshire's coffee drinkers have taken up the option to recycle their coffee pods at our recycling centres since we introduced the service last autumn. This is 11 tonnes of useful material that is being reused instead of going to waste, with the plastic and aluminium being used to make new products and the coffee grounds being used to make soil improver and generate renewable energy. We're always looking for innovative recycling methods which highlight our commitment to lead on sustainable waste management and demonstrate our ambition to send zero waste to landfill by 2030. Overall, latest data shows that the centres, which segregate 37 different materials for recycling, reuse or recovery, are visited by 1.5 million residents a year. In 2024-25, the latest data shows that 86,226 tonnes of waste were collected across the network, which is 6.5% higher than the year before. All sites now collect vapes separately, which reduces the risk of fires at waste facilities. New arrangements for the management of small amounts of asbestos have been put in place at centres in Ware and Welwyn Garden City. The new service offers a financial saving while ensuring that the council supports residents with an option for asbestos-containing materials from their homes, says the report presented to the Cabinet panel.
David Taylor, MP for Hemel Hempstead, has issued a New Year message to residents, reflecting on his first full year representing the town and its surrounding villages. Since his election, Mr. Taylor and his team have focused on delivering direct support to the community, assisting with over 2,000 constituent cases and sending more than 32,000 pieces of correspondence. These efforts have resulted in tangible wins for local families, from securing 60 water bill write-offs in the villages to personal interventions for local NHS workers and teachers to ensure that they could continue serving our community. In a summary of his personal highlights from 2025, Mr. Taylor pointed to a broad range of local and national advocacy, including policing and crime, serving on the Crime and Policing Bill Committee to strengthen over 50 new laws using local stories. He successfully lobbied the Home Secretary for more resources, with record office numbers for Hertfordshire expected by April 2026. Education. Welcoming the Education Secretary to Chipperfield to discuss record per pupil funding and the expansion of free school meals for 4,870 more local children. SEND and healthcare. Successfully pushing for expedited ADHD assessments and advocating for better SEND services, including writing a report for the Department for Education, DOE, that put over 100 residents' voices front and centre of the national conversation. International and national security. Visiting Ukraine during the recess to meet their defence minister, feeding back critical findings to the Prime Minister to bolster national security and support. Local economy. Championing Mainland's investment directly to the PM and bringing local small business voices to the heart of government by inviting George from TJ's Late Shop to number 11 Downing Street. Worker and renter rights. Voting for the biggest upgrade to workers' and renters' rights in a generation, including the ban on fire and rehire, and no-fault evictions, benefiting over 6,000 households in Hemel. investment, welcoming a £183.8 million funding boost for Hertfordshire County Council and an 11% increase for Decorum, a significant shift to support local frontline services. Cost of living. Supporting vital relief, including £150 to £300 off energy bills, and scrapping the two-child cap to lift 2,660 local children out of poverty. Community spirit. Celebrating local talent, including Electric Umbrella's performance outside Number 10 and visiting over 150 local charities, schools and businesses. Beyond Westminster, Mr. Taylor has remained rooted in the constituency, completing over 150 local visits and holding 20 or more surgeries to hear directly from residents. He paid special tribute to the powerhouse organisations and charities that sustain the area, including Community Action Decorum, DENS and the Community Fridge. Looking ahead to 2026. To kickstart the new year, the MP has launched his winter listening survey, inviting every resident in Hemel and the villages to help shape his priorities for 2026. Mr. Taylor said, "It is the honour of a lifetime to serve as your MP, whether it is asking the Prime Minister questions in the Commons, visiting our brilliant local schools, or meeting with local charities. Every action I take is driven by a single goal: to deliver the very best for Hemel Hempstead. As we enter 2026, I want to thank our NHS staff, teachers, emergency service and volunteers who make this community so special."
As mentioned in the previous article, David Taylor, MP for Hemel Hempstead, has launched his winter listening survey to gather feedback from constituents on the issues that matter most, as he sets his focus for the coming parliamentary term. The short 5-minute survey is designed to capture residents' views across a range of local and national concerns, including community safety and the cost of living. The results will directly inform Mr. Taylor's work, both in Westminster and on the ground across the constituency. Mr. Taylor is committed to making this survey as accessible as possible, ensuring the results are representative of the whole community. He and his team will be continuing their outreach efforts, delivering leaflets with QR codes and knocking on hundreds of doors over the next few months to encourage maximum participation. Commenting on the launch, Mr. Taylor said, "It's a privilege of a lifetime to advocate for our local community and assist in any way I can. Since being elected, my priority has been to listen and act on the concerns of the people of Hemel and the villages. That work never stops. I've been working tirelessly to deliver for our area, ensuring I'm accessible by holding over 20 surgeries across Hemel and the villages. My team and I have assisted with over 2,000 constituent cases this past year, making a real difference, from successfully advocating for housing repairs to ensuring the DVLA reinstate a driving licence within 24 hours after wrongful termination. This winter listening survey is crucial because it allows residents to set my agenda. Whether it's tackling antisocial behaviour, improving GP access, or supporting local businesses, your priorities are my priorities. I urge everyone across Hemel Hempstead and the villages to take just 5 minutes to complete the survey. Your voice shapes our future." The survey is now open and can be completed online by all residents of the constituency. Residents can complete the survey immediately here at survey.labour.org.uk/David-Taylor-MP. For urgent and specific issues, constituents are invited to contact the MP's office directly, that is at david.taylor.mp@parliament.uk.
A Slimming World consultant from Hemel Hempstead says slimming groups are needed now more than ever despite the growing popularity of weight loss medication. Hayley Gavin, who runs Slimming World Groups in Highfield, was recently celebrating with her members at their Christmas party, where the group came together in festive jumpers to mark a year of shared successes, support and friendship. Hayley says this sense of togetherness is something weight loss drugs can never replace. While the arrival of injections such as Ozempic, Wegovy and Mounjaro has changed the weight management landscape, Hayley believes they are not a replacement for approaches based on lifestyle change and ongoing support. Hayley joined Slimming World herself in 2012 after having her second child. She says, "When you're desperate to lose weight, it can be tempting to try something that promises quick results. But the truth is, there is no magic fix. Losing weight and keeping it off requires change. Even when people use weight loss drugs, they still need to change how they eat, move, and think. Medication doesn't replace that." Research supports this view. A recent University of Oxford study found that people who stop taking weight loss drugs typically regain the weight they lost within a year if healthy lifestyle changes are not maintained. Hayley explains that Slimming World focuses on long-term change. "Our healthy eating plan helps members enjoy filling, nutritious everyday food without deprivation. Our activity program encourages people to move more at their own pace. More importantly, our groups provide behavior change support and weekly encouragement. With over 55 years experience, we believe this combination gives people the best chance of lasting success. We also support members who choose to use weight loss medication alongside attending the group. Around 64 million people in the UK are currently living with overweight or obesity. Hayley says many people join her groups after struggling alone. Weight loss isn't easy, and it's even harder on your own. In group, friendships form naturally. The motivation and accountability that comes from being supported by others who understand the journey is incredibly powerful. Angela, who has lost 9.5 stone since joining Slimming World in 2021, says, "I'm delighted with my weight loss. I've learned changes I can stick to for life, and I feel confident I'll never go back to the old me. The support I get each week has made all the difference." As Hayley and her members celebrated together this Christmas, the message was clear. While weight loss trends may change, the power of community and shared support remains as important as ever. Join them every Wednesday in St. Paul's Church in Highfield, HP25QN, at 7:45 a.m., 9:15 a.m., 10:45 a.m., 5:30 p.m., and 7 p.m. Come and feel the support that you never knew you needed.
Hertfordshire Police will work with its Race Inclusion Board to ensure fairness as it trials the use of live facial recognition, LFR, technology for the first time. Chief Constable Andy Proffitt sat down with the Force's Police and Crime Commissioner, PCC Jonathan Ash-Edwards, for their accountability and performance meeting last month. The meeting allows the PCC to ask questions of the Chief Constable and to hold him to account. The PCC began the meeting by asking the Chief Constable about the launch of live facial recognition technology in December and to address some of the concerns residents may have. Chief Constable Proffitt said, "There's a huge amount of safeguarding behind it. What's important here is I recognise, and the evidence base nationally indicates, that some members of our community may feel worried about this from an infringement on civil liberties. Some particular parts of our community may feel that they could be disproportionately targeted by this. What I can say to you is that the evidence base nationally says that there's no statistically significant difference between the accuracy of the technology for any kind of demographic factor. So we'll be working really hard with community groups in Hertfordshire, with the Race Inclusion Board and others to say, this is it, this is how it works, come along and see how we're trialling it to build that trust and confidence. Live facial recognition compares a human face captured by a camera against digital images uploaded to a secure database called the Watchlist. This process is fast, accurate, and designed to help identify individuals wanted for serious offences. According to Hertfordshire Constabulary, the Watchlist is manually populated for each deployment and includes individuals wanted by police or courts for serious offences such as violent or sexual crimes and those subject to court orders, including registered sex offenders.
Continuing on with this story, asked how the technology works, the Chief Constable said, "It captures the faces of people walking past it, and the technology matches the individual. So if I'm Billy the Burglar and I walk past that camera, it will say, that person there looks like Billy the Burglar. You then look at it and go, that is a good match, I agree with the technology, and you, as an expert, then would go and send a local officer in that high street or zone and say, go and stop that person and have a conversation with them because the technology suggests that's the burglar. If the officer goes and confirms it, the arrest gets made. If it's not, the system is really, really accurate, so in the small chance it's not, we can correct that and the person can go on their way. It's neighbourhood policing, supported by technology, to try and put our neighbourhood officers in front of the right people. A key part of that is making sure it's done in a professional and human way. This is not brand new technology. It's been successfully tried in other forces in the country, in London, in Essex, and elsewhere, and it's having some really good results. Asked about how deployment places are selected, the Chief Constable said, "There's not really an obvious answer, to be frank. We will pick the places where people are likely to be, or where our crime is likely to be high. So high streets, high footfall areas are the types of places where we would deploy the technology. It's a mobile capability that we can develop, so you can put the cameras in a van, for example, and put it in the right place. So we can be really, really thoughtful about how we do it." Asked about the technology's accuracy, he said, "There are some statistics I could talk about here, but the headlines are that it's really, really good at positively identifying people. And there are really very low circumstances when it identifies someone incorrectly. An officer will have a conversation with the person and check the facts that the technology is giving them. Only if they agree with it will they use their powers to make an arrest." Asked what happens to images of members of the public caught on camera who were not matched to the wanted suspects, the Chief Constable said, "That image is immediately deleted. If the individual is a match, that image will be retained for 24 hours to ensure there's an audit trail for the action that was taken on the back of that. If it's not you, your image is immediately deleted."
Now we come to the information slot. This is followed by the obituaries, what's on, and any more news. Community Action Decorum. We help to connect people. Community transport can provide transport solutions to anybody within the Decorum community, including elderly, disabled or vulnerable individuals and voluntary, sports, faith and youth groups, schools and charities. We also support the well-being of vulnerable individuals by taking them shopping through our Door to Store service or on outings through our Day Trippers Club. Minibus trips to the shops or on days out are more than just travel. They are a way for lonely people to meet friends and gives them something to look forward to every week. Our transport services are community cars, a volunteer-delivered community car service for those less mobile or with no access to conventional public transport. Day Trippers, an outings club visiting National Trust properties, stately homes, places of interest, and venues for lunch or afternoon tea. Community Wheels, local and some rural scheduled bus services, including door to store and cemetery run. Minibus hire. We offer low-cost minibus rental, either with a volunteer or for self-drive hire, to not-for-profit groups and public organisations, including sports groups, schools, community, elderly, disability, faith and youth groups. WAV hire, wheelchair accessible vehicle hire, specifically designed to provide greater independence and social opportunities for individuals who use wheelchairs. This vehicle is a crucial part of our mission to connect and support vulnerable individuals within the Decorum community. Available for private hire. If there is a community transport need not being met, please contact us to see if we can help. Booking lines open 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. Monday to Friday. And for more information, contact us on 01442 212 888.
Community Cars. Community Cars is our social car scheme that provides vital transportation for people who struggle to access public transport or don't have their own vehicle. Our dedicated team of volunteer drivers use their own cars to provide door-to-door transport to essential appointments, including medical consultations, hospital visits, social engagements, to help maintain independence, dignity, and ensures that mobility challenges don't prevent people from accessing the healthcare and support services they need. All our volunteer drivers are DBS checked and trained to provide compassionate professional assistance. Booking costs £5 for a return journey of up to 5 miles, a further 65 pence per mile beyond this. Please note, community cars require 4 working days' notice to find an available volunteer driver. Due to seasonal and other issues, it may not always be possible to secure an available volunteer driver.
Door to Store. This is a community bus service for residents in Hemel Hempstead, Kings Langley, Bovingdon, Berkhamsted and Tring. Supported by volunteers, the service picks you up from your home address and takes you to a local supermarket. The service operates every fortnight and costs £7 for the return journey. Booking lines are open from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday to Friday, and to book a place on a shopping trip, contact 212888.
Day Trippers, an outings club visiting National Trust properties, stately homes, places of interest and venues for lunch or afternoon tea. To book a place on one or more of the trips, contact 212888 or email misty@communityactiondecorum.org.uk.
And now the obituaries. The obituaries on the family announcement page this week are Sylvia Maureen Baker, aged 91 years, Sylvia Irene Timms, known as Auntie Silver, aged 88 years. And from last week's Gazette, Sheila Ashby, aged 86 years, and Michael John Wall. May they all rest in peace.
What's on? Music. T-Rextasy, the greatest hits tour, the Alban Arena, St. Albans, January 30. Mark Bolan and T-Rex were among the most flamboyant, charismatic stars of the original glam rock era, with hits including 20th Century Boy and Metal Guru. Call 01727 844 88 to book. More on music. Hometown Glory, candlelit concert, a tribute to Adele, the Alban Arena, St. Albans, January 31st. Natalie Black's acclaimed tribute includes songs from Adele's four albums, including Set Fire to the Rain, Make You Feel My Love, Someone Like You, and I Drink Wine. Call 01727-844-88 to book. Pantomime. Goldilocks and the Three Bears, Milton Keynes Theatre, December 6th to January 11th. Join comedian, TV and musical theatre star Brian Conley as Milton Keynes Theatre is transformed into a sensational circus where everything is possible and anything could happen. Brian is joined on stage by his daughter, Lucy Conley, who stars as Goldilocks, along with a cast including renowned Dame David Robbins as Dame Betty Barnum, panto villain Gary Milner as the evil ringmaster, magician Phil Hitchcock as the magical Mysterioso, and direct from Zippo's Circus, the Timbuktu Tumblers. Visit atgtickets.com/Milton Keynes to book.
On Wednesday, the 14th of January at 8 p.m, a talk on intelligence networks behind enemy lines in World War I and World War II. Berkhamsted Local History and Museum Society presents their first talk of the new year in the Civic Centre on Berkhamsted High Street. Helen Fry offers a compelling account of agents, spies, couriers, and heads of intelligence who risked their lives and found ingenious ways to smuggle intelligence. They sent coded messages, knitted in jumpers, and ran entire sections behind enemy lines. Operators sent over 800 radio messages to London and delivered more than 1,000 reports. Helen has authored and edited over 25 books covering the social history of World War II, including British intelligence, the secret war, espionage, spies, and MI9 escapes and evasion. Non-members are always welcome at £5 at the door, or join BLHMS on the night. On Sunday, the 18th of January at 2 p.m, Verdi's La Traviata. The Vine Theatre on Northbridge Road, Berkhamsted, is screening its first opera for 2026, Verdi's La Traviata from the Royal Opera House. This story of love, passion and tragedy features some of opera's most famous melodies. Tickets are £18, children are £12, available from 0333 666 666.
Film. The Ballad of Wallace Island, Certificate 12, is showing on Tuesday the 13th of January at the Old Town Hall, High Street, Hemel Hempstead, with screenings at 2 p.m. and 7:30. There's parking available and disabled access is available. Tickets are £5 standard and £3.50 with a decorum card, adults only. An eccentric lottery winner who lives alone on a remote island tries to make his fantasies come true by getting his favourite musicians to perform at his home. Contact details, othmarketing@decorum.gov.uk, mail to othmarketing@decorum.gov.uk, phone 228091.
Also at the Old Town Hall, High Street, Hemel Hempstead, a showing of Hamlet, a National Theatre live screening on Tuesday the 27th of January. There are two screenings at 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. with standard ticket £15 and £12 with a decorum card. Parking is available at the Old Town Hall and disabled access available. Hamlet is presented by the National Theatre Live Film Team, who provide live screenings across the country in cinemas and theatres. Hamlet is written by William Shakespeare and, in this case, directed by Robert Hasty. Olivier Award winner Hiron Abi Sekara, known for The Life of Pi, is Hamlet in this fearless contemporary take on Shakespeare's famous tragedy. Trapped between duty and doubt, surrounded by power and privilege, young Prince Hamlet dares to ask the ultimate question. You know the one. National Theatre Deputy Artistic Director Robert Hasty is known for Standing at the Sky's Edge and Operation Mincemeat, and he directs this sharp, stylish and darkly funny reimagining. Contact details, email to othmarketing@decorum.gov.uk or phone 228091.
The U3A Decorum Monthly Speaker Meeting will be held on Monday, 2nd of February 2026 from 10 a.m. to 12. It is free for adults only and will be held at Boxmoor Playhouse, 72 St. John's Road, Hemel Hempstead, HP1 1NP. Parking is available and disabled access is also available. Refreshments, tea, coffee and biscuits, followed by a talk by Jeremy Holmes on medicines and 2,000 miles across Africa, is the topic. Jeremy is a past CEO of the Royal Pharmaceutical Society and will talk about the healthcare challenges being faced in East Africa. U3A Decorum is an organization for people who are no longer in full-time employment. We have nearly 80 hobby and interest groups which meet in Hemel or Berkhamsted and a monthly speaker meeting. New members, welcome. Contact details, email chair@u3adecorum.org. The web address is http://u3adecorum.org.
A Hemel Hempstead woman has said it was a miracle nobody was hurt after witnessing part of a cliff collapse while on holiday with her family. Susan Sears was on holiday in Dorset with her family for the New Year break when she saw a section of cliff collapsing onto a beach on the Jurassic coast around 4 p.m. on Tuesday, December the 30th. A short video shared on Dorset Council's Facebook page shows dust falling before a dramatic rock fall which creates a large pile of brown rubble and dust. In the video, three people can be seen running away from the scene as the clouds of dust meet the sea. Suzanne told the BBC she first became aware of the incident when she heard what she described as a deep cracking noise coming from the cliff. She was about 20 metres away at the time of the collapse and said it was a miracle nobody was hurt as the beach was busy with dog walkers and people taking a sunset stroll. The Maritime and Coast Guard Agency attended the scene and told the BBC that no one was found to be in any distress. Dorset Council reported the day after the incident that the cliff path remained closed, adding, "The beach is open, but remember that rock falls and landslips can happen at any time. If you are out on the coast, please stay safe by taking notice of warning signs and keep to existing paths." The Jurassic Coast is a 95-mile stretch of coastline covering the counties of Dorset and Devon and is recognised for its rocks, fossils and landforms.
There will be a charity quiz night on Saturday the 31st of January 2026 at 7 p.m. for 7:30 p.m. at John F. Kennedy School, Hollybush Lane, Hemel Hempstead, HP1 2PH. The quiz night is in aid of Rotary Charities and Headway Hearts. The ticket price is £17.50 and includes food platter, desserts and nibbles. Tables will be arranged for groups of eight. If your group is fewer, we will happily pair you with others if you wish. There'll be a cash card bar, heads and tails raffle. For tickets, contact Leslie Meredith on 07788 987 652 or email her on meredy687@aol.com or contact Alan Wright on 07710 538581 or you can email him at agw047@gmail.com. It would be appreciated if you could advise of any specific dietary requirements in advance.
And now some news from last week's Gazette. Decorum Borough Council has confirmed one of its famous protected buildings will be upgraded. The Old Town Hall in Hemel Hempstead will undergo work to improve its environmental performance. Funding for the project has been secured via the Theatres Trust's Theatre Improvement Scheme, and £19,500 has been allocated for the makeover. A spokesperson for the council said, housed within a Grade 2 listed building dating back to 1852, the Old Town Hall operates as a cultural venue, presenting a diverse artistic programme including educational partnerships with Little Angel Theatre and the development of new work with local companies. It has also been revealed that the funding will go towards upgrading the building's loft insulation. Figures released by the council suggest that the property's carbon emissions could be reduced by 5.7 tonnes each year. The council expects to save £3,000 and wants to reallocate that money towards community schemes. Councillor Adrian England said, "This investment is a positive step in helping a valued local heritage asset meet modern sustainability standards. The upgrade will support carbon reduction across the council's cultural estate, while ensuring the Old Town Hall can continue offering high-quality arts and community activity for residents. Work on site is expected to begin next summer." Theatre manager Stuart Fairthorne said, "We are grateful for the support provided by the Theatres Trust and the Wolfson Foundation. Caring for a Grade 2 listed Victorian building presents specific challenges, particularly around improving energy efficiency. This grant enables us to make a significant step forward in reducing our environmental impact. The anticipated savings will directly support our continued work with local audiences and artists."
Football. Lee Allinson hailed his brilliant Hemel Hempstead Town side after they made it 2 wins from 2 last weekend. Mauro Velletti's lob secured all 3 points in a 1-0 win over Dagenham and Redbridge, which built on the 3-0 success over Enfield Town a few days earlier. And Allinson told the club's media he was proud of what he'd seen from his players. He said, "It was a brilliant win. I thought it was the best we've been since Wigan, if I'm honest. I thought we were front-footed, determined, first to every ball against a very good side and another full-time team. I just thought it was our legs, our energy, our desire, our willingness to keep the ball out of the back of the net, and I don't recall Michael making many saves. I know their goalkeeper hasn't had to make many either, but it was an evenly contested game and the difference was a quality finish from Mauro. Then, we've defended brilliantly well and it's fantastic 3 points. I've got to give full credit to the players as we've worked extremely hard on a slightly new formation and on set pieces, and the boys were in on Sunday, in on New Year's Day, and you reap the rewards for that, because that hard work has got us where we've been today." Allinson also reflected on the differences between Saturday's win and the 2-1 defeat at Dagenham back in August. He said, I thought in the first half at Dagenham we were extremely poor and found ourselves 2-0 down. But I thought the second half was very good, but it was different game on a very different hot summer's day. Today, it's a wintry day, under lights, and I've got to give the chairman and the staff credit for getting the game on today as the pitch was under snow yesterday. Tuesday night's County Cup tie with London Lions was postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. It means that up next for the Tudors is a trip to Dover Athletic in the league on Saturday.
Basketball. Hemel Storm fell to a 68-86 defeat at the hands of Milton Keynes Breakers in their first game of the new year. It was a tight opening quarter at the Storm Dome, but the guests pulled away in the second and third, clinching a comfortable victory in the first local derby of the BCB League season. Braden Inger had 13 points and 8 rebounds, and Matt Norman had 15 as he desperately tried to heave his side back into the contest. Taylor Johnson also had 16, but Storm's offence failed to consistently break down the Breakers, with a tally of 68, their lowest of the season so far. They could not stem the flow at the other end either, with MK squad depth coming to the fore as 5 men registered double digits, including former Storm man Blaine Freckton. A scrappy first period with some Christmas rust evident on both sides ended with the Breakers 19-18 ahead, but then the guests really caught fire, with 3 consecutive threes from Freckington making up part of an 18-2 run that took them 16 points into the ascendancy. Storm eventually responded, Norman connecting with a pair of long-range efforts himself, but as the first half-time buzzer sounded, they still trailed 38-47. Storm failed to muster a threatening run in the third quarter, and saw the game slip further out of their grasp, despite 5 unanswered points from new man Mergim Sokoli. The score sat at 52-69 at the final break, and the host briefly hinted at a comeback at the beginning of the fourth quarter as Norman, Inger and Sam Newman combined to reduce the arrears to single digits with 4 minutes on the clock. But an 11-0 Breakers run dispelled any doubts, and Storm were condemned to their 8th league loss this season. They're at home again next Saturday and they take on the London Cavaliers. Tickets for that are available to buy on the Fanbase app.
We're now coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 8:05 a.m. and 4:13 p.m. For those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. If you wish to listen on Alexa, say, Alexa, open the Talking Newspaper skill. Alexa will ask you which broadcast you want to listen to. When prompted, reply, play the Decorum Talking Newspaper. This part can be tricky. If Alexa offers the wrong station, just say no and then try again. For those who are listening to this week's news via a memory stick, after the music, there is the amenities section that gives details of various groups and the contact details of organisations. Please remove your memory stick carefully from the player and return it to us in the pouch provided. Seal it up firmly. Turn the label over and post it back to us using any Royal Mail postbox. No stamp is required. Thank you for listening. Apologies for any extraneous hum you can hear. It was beyond our control, and we hope it did not spoil your listening. So, until next time, it's goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and Andrew, your technician for this week. Goodbye.